You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car. No matter if you're near or far, he'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
Yeehaw! Ladies and gentlemen, it's another exciting show right here ready for you. And James, what do you find so funny?
It's a good thing it's radio.
Seriously. I put on a clean t-shirt today. I wore the best clothing.
That's a clean t-shirt?
It is. Well, it was dirty yesterday, but I turned it inside out. Eh? It's the clean side. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. Dave's not here, so if you got a question for him, you have to wait till next week. But to help me out in the studio, I have got two exciting guests. Well, one's exciting, one's not so exciting. Mark Silverman from Eastcourt Ford. Thanks for coming by, Mark.
Thank you for having us.
It was great that you got up so early this morning.
It was a little tough, but I know.
I told the wife, I gave her $5 to give you a kick in the butt just to make sure that you were here on time.
And where the $5 came from.
And the professor. We call him the professor, you know.
Yeah, I know. He looks like...
He does.
He talks like a professor.
He's a smart guy.
He knows a lot about cars.
He knows everything about cars.
I know. That's why I come here, to learn what he's...
His name is Ellie Melnick, and he's from Start Auto Electric. Ellie, thanks for coming down.
I'm not sure. It was a wise move.
Well, I got to ask you, though, did you open the store today? I know you guys are open on Saturdays.
I open the store? I'm here.
Exactly.
I moved the store to here.
Okay. So exactly.
We can help people right from the studio.
I don't see why we can't help people.
A professor. He's helping from the studio.
You know what? No, and I put on my Facebook page this morning. I said, if you have a car care question,
call Ellie.
We can virtually help you get your car started. We can.
Correct.
You got a pair of booster cables? Anyways, this is, of course, car. What are we talking about? This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. And we've got callers already. You know what? And before we take a break, which we're going to have to shortly, we've got somebody calling from the center of the universe. His name is Rod. Good morning, Rod. How are you?
Hello. Well, Dave would know where the center of the universe was his old host from the old days, John Mitter.
That's right.
And he was from the center of the universe, basically what he called Guelph, Ontario.
You know what? I was on the tip of my tongue, I had all these city boys here going, I don't know where the hell the center of the universe is. We thought, you know, the people from the Big Smoke.
The guy was a little bit wacko. center of the universe.
Well, the people from, the Big Smoke here, from the Big T-Dot, we all think that Toronto is the center of the universe, but in not this case. Rod, what can we do for you in lovely Guelph today?
Okay, here's the situation. I've got a 98 Dodge Neon. The car has got probably about 260,000 kilometers. It's a single overhead cam, 2-liter engine, standard shift transmission. Mm-hmm. I'm still going through oil, even though there is no oil leaks. I've changed the cylinder head, put all new gaskets, put a new rear main seal in it.
Right.
I've checked the spark plugs. There's no oil, crusty oil on the spark plugs. Mm-hmm. And yet it's still going through a liter of oil about every 2,000 kilometers. I have no idea where the oil is going.
I think you need to, get a hobby or something. I mean, seriously, it uses a liter every 2,000 kilometers, and you're losing sleep over this?
Well, and...
You know what? If you lived in Toronto, there'd be a lot more stuff to do at night, okay? See, you living in Guelph, although it's the center of the universe. Boy, oh boy, dwelling on this. You spent a whole lot of money, too, trying to fix it, I can hear. You did the rear main seal and the head gasket only to fix this problem?
Well, I mean, it was good. I mean, those cars were notorious for oil leaks from the head gasket, so I did that a while ago. I needed some work done on it anyway, and the clutch started to slip because, of course, when the rear main seal was leaking,
right,
the oil would slowly, and then
But you know what? That all doesn't amount to a whole lot of oil, though.
The gentleman from Eastcourt can appreciate this. And although I'm a Chrysler person by nature, my partner's got a 2003 Ford Focus with the 2-liter double overhead cam.
But does that burn any oil?
Pardon?
Does his burn any oil?
It's got 230,000 kilometers, and I will go 6,000 kilometers on an oil change, and I only change the oil when it goes down 1 liter.
Mm-hmm.
So that engine has got approximately the same mileage, and it doesn't burn any oil. I've got a 97 Intrepid, a V6 in it, and it's gone, you know, basically all over North America.
How many kilometers on it?
260, and again, it goes even longer. I put synthetic oil in it, and it goes 8,000 kilometers.
Rod, I think we're going to have to take a break here. But Rod, I think you should be getting a Medal of Honor from the Chrysler Corporation to be having both of these cars and to keep them on the road for the length of time. Rod, you got to be doing something right, I got to tell you, because for an Intrepid to last that kind of miles, or a Neon, for example, I think the guy's done great. But I think it's time to probably move on. I mean, car sales are really good right now.
I mean, is there something different in the oil? I mean, I'm using synthetic oil compared to the regular oil.
Rod, all I can suggest is put a little bit of heavier oil in it. But when the wintertime comes, you're going to have to go back to the thin stuff. All right, we got to run.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Scott, hang on the line. That does free up a line, as a matter of fact. And if I find my phone numbers here, 416-360-0740. Or if you're out of town, in the center of the universe, maybe live next door to Rod. It's 1-866-740-4740. But if you do live next door to him, he's going to ask you to come give him a hand and check on a car underneath, because he's going to be doing an oil change very shortly. Speaking of shortly, we got to run. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740.
Come on over, baby.
All right. We got a whole lot of shaking going on. You like that? This is more of your era, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, yours too.
It might too. We ain't faking. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, I should say. It's Dave's Corner Garage on new AM 740. And we're not from the center of the universe.
What do you think the chances of that Dave is listening?
It's pretty good, as a matter of fact. He threatened to call in.
Should we say hello, Dave?
Hello, Dave. Where are you? Maybe when we take that next caller, we're going to have Dave online. That would be helpful, I think, because he'd probably remember. Car care questions. If you've got one, you can give us a call at 416-360-0740. You know what? The last caller called in was kind of bent out of shape because his car was using a liter every 2,000 kilometers. But we were talking off air. Aside from us kidding around, for a lot of cars, that would be really good. Ellie, we were talking about BMWs, eh?
Yeah, they expect 1 liter per 1,000 kilometers as normal. Mm. And that's on a brand new vehicle.
Exactly.
Those are high performance engines, though. They're high compression. So
yeah, they're high compression, premium fuel, et cetera. But still, I mean, it's normal.
Compared to a Neon.
For this car, that's not worth very much. Mm-hmm. To be able to go 2,000 kilometers in 1 liter.
Oh, that was great. Great. And you were talking about one of the new Ford engines, a 10-cylinder. Yeah, it burns oil, too?
The Ford V10, if it idles, it will use a little bit of oil. But, again, it's not something wrong with the motor. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it's built, and it's fine.
No, and I think what's important here is that you've got to be cognizant of the fact that it does use it.
Right.
Because the worst thing, of course, is to run out of oil, because then what happens to your warranty, Mark? Goodbye, Charlie. Goodbye, you don't Charlie. Have one. Exactly.
But you know what? The difference is, in the old days, if you guys remember, you used to pull up to get gas, and some kid would come out and say, yeah, can I check your oil? Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have that luxury anymore, and I think it's something that needs to be done. Like, the regular consumer doesn't have the opportunity to check.
An owner is definitely more responsible now.
Because you have to be.
Ever since self-serve gas stations became prevalent,
mm-hmm.
Nobody opens the hood.
No, not at all. I've always laughed about that when I had asked somebody, I'll show you how to check your oil if you don't know how. Why don't you pop the hood open? And they go, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, okay, let's start at the beginning. You know, I got to show you how to open up the hood first. We had a lady call in. She was calling in. She wanted to get some information on Crown, but she did not have a computer at home. So I want to give out the phone number quickly. So if you're looking for a Crown Rust Preventative Application Center near you, you can call 1-800-267-5744. Again, 1-800-267-5744. And internationally, I guess if you're outside of the center of the universe, 1-905 939-8750. And let's get back to our callers. And, Mark, this is going to be a question specifically for you because Rosemary, who's in Bradford, is looking at buying a brand-new Ford. What can we do for you, Rosemary?
Well, we are in the market. We have always bought Ford products, and we have just been on a vacation, and they told us we should really start looking when we come back. Mm-hmm. We deal with a local Ford dealer. The question is, we have a 10-year-old Focus wagon. Mm-hmm. Loved it, but it's time. So I looked at the new Focus, and it's like half the size of ours. Haven't taken anything out for a test drive. I'm more of a car person than my husband, and that's why I'm making this call.
Excellent.
So my question is, the new Focus wagon versus the Focus car versus the Fusion, I need some input.
Well, I think, first of all, do you need the space that's in the wagon? Like, do you need that
no.
kind of space?
No.
You just like to have a
We've
lot of car around
you? We've always had the wagon. We've had, like,
Fairmont.
I mean, I can't even name them all, but we've had wagons.
I have to tell you, the Fusion is an amazing car. It's a phenomenal driving car. It handles well. It's priced right. Looks good.
Is there a wagon?
There isn't. It's a four-door sedan.
Okay.
And I think for space, it's probably a little bit better than the Focus. And if you don't need the wagon, if you don't need that wagon feature, stay away from it. It's not really that important. There's a lot of trunk space in the Fusion. A lot of trunk space.
Well, the downside of a wagon generally is that you can't hide anything in a trunk.
Right.
Everything is exposed and
right.
visible.
Right. So if you got a couple of bodies there, I mean, a couple of bags of.
well, that's where a trunk would be way better, right?
yeah, but no, I think. You know what? I think you'll find that the Fusion is a really great car.
Okay.
And you should consider having the. What dealer do you deal with out there?
Shanahan in Newmarket.
Oh. Are you a regular customer of Shanahan's?
Yes. We were regular customers of Brad Walker before that. He was the previous owner.
Yes. Okay, well. If I can help you out in any way, we're at Shepherd and McAllen in Scarborough. And,
well, we like the locality. The local.
Absolutely.
You know, we try to support locally as much as possible.
Absolutely, and I think that's great. You know,
and
what?
Their service department is great, and that is important to my husband because we always take it there for service.
Well, listen, you always want to feel that you're getting value, that you're getting treated with respect.
Absolutely.
And they do the job properly,
100%. You know what? It's important now that you maintain a relationship with your dealer because the cars are really high-tech now. There's a lot of technology in there.
Yeah, and we're not techie, so.
And so you need to be in touch with the dealer at all times. And you know what? If you're comfortable dealing with him, by all means.
And the other question, I guess, would be 10 years ago we purchased, I believe it was called TRICARE, to be inserted in the vehicle to prevent rust and acid rain and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work too well, I'm sorry to say. And that is why we didn't get rust proofing.
What is TRICARE?
It was a chip that they put in the car somewhere, and it was to prevent having to ever get
rust
proofing.
Okay, so this was an electronic device is what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
You know what? Those electronic devices have come a long way, and we still sell them now. In fact, they're proven technology, and they're even underwritten by some really high-end insurance companies that are picking up the underwriting on these modules. Sorry, and they're very simplistic to install. They can go from car to car. You basically get a lifetime warranty when you buy it. You get a lifetime warranty on the rust. And where it differs from the chemical rust is on the pinch welds on the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And anywhere where you can't put a chemical into the system,
right?
You can't protect. This, and Ellie, you're probably a little bit more up to date on that, the technology in that, but it like ionizes or it puts a negative current or something.
I'll tell you, I have reservations about those devices.
Well, we're sitting here biting our tongue, you know. The truth is, you know. But
hey, listen, it's a family show here. We can go ahead, give me an argument.
You're lucky it's a family show.
Well, if I was the only one listening, you wouldn't offend me, but. I think the issue for us, yes, is now we have very rusty doors at the bottom. And they suggested to us not to spend the thousands of dollars required to fix
the doors. Yeah, well, no, that's good advice because there's lots of rust on the vehicle that you can't even see.
Mm-hmm.
And the car's 10 years old. It's certainly time to get a new one. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take Mark's advice in terms of the Fusion. Are there any engine options there, Mark?
The EcoBoost is nice.
Yeah? And what kind of mileage can Rosemary expect?
You know what? I don't really discuss that because it's variable, and you never know until you have about 8,000 to 10,000 kilometers on the car what your real mileage is.
Right.
For us, that's not an issue. We aren't commuting.
Okay.
We take one traveling vacation a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our car right now has 120,000 kilometers on it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? 120,000 kilometers, it still has some value. Take it into Shanahan. If they treat you fair, they'll give you some value for the car. And there's some good programs and incentives on through the Ford Motor Company right now to purchase. And also tell you a little secret, if you get in there before Monday, month end is the time to buy a car.
Employee pricing.
Well, employee pricing is there, but also month end is the time to buy a car. We like to get rid of them quick. And some skinny deals happen on a month end.
Okay.
All right, Rosemary, I hope we've helped. We got to get the Ford out of here, okay? Yeah, we gotta go because you can hear the music. Did you get that? Well, what I kind of wonder why they call why do they call it like an F pickup truck? You know,
yeah, well,
I guess the guy whose hood doesn't fit right, he's pretty effed about it.
Well, yeah, you know, but he's got a new one now.
Well, that's a good thing, and there are incentives on. Ladies and gentlemen, after this break, we're going to talk about everything but Fords. Okay, we're going to talk to Scott in Hamilton. We got to talk to Gabriel in Toronto, who's going on a long trip, I understand. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740, 416-360-0740. And if, Dave, you're listening, you can give us a call, too. We'll be back just in a moment. I know this song. This is not 60 years old. Well, it's kind of old.
Oh, that's close.
Well, let's put it this way. There's only two members still alive. How's that? There you go. Yeah. This is the Who?
Name him.
The Magic Bus. Here we go. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. We don't fix a lot of buses, certainly not magic ones.
But I've been on the Magic Bus.
Have you been on the Magic Bus?
I've been on the Magic Bus.
Does that even touch the ground, or does that just float right in the sky?
You know what? When you're on the Magic Bus,
depends
you don't
the passengers.
Know. You never know.
That was on the Zigzag Express. Wasn't that called the Zigzag Express, that one?
I think so.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to go to Hamilton, not necessarily the center of the universe, but not far off. We're going to talk to Scott. He's a repeat caller. Scott, quickly, what was the issue the last time, and what can we do for you today?
I got the same problem. I was out this morning with my Ford diesel truck, 04, and driving at 80 kilometers, 90, 100, 105, 10. The steering wheel is jumping. The seat is bouncing. Then I ran it. Then it warmed up, and I ran it to 120. And then after that, 85-90% of the bumping went away.
You're kidding. So it was just wow, sounds like the tires are flat spotting.
You got a tire issue.
Pardon?
It sounds like a tire issue for sure.
I've been to my dealer or they did a brake job on my truck.
Right, and then you had tires.
The truck ran as smooth as silk, and ever since the brake job, it's bumping. It's just terrible. I put new tires on it, and it did make a bit of difference.
So
my tires are maybe 50% of rubber still left on them. So they put my tires back on, but they just can't find the problem. And I've been back and forth. They balanced the wheels six or eight times.
Hmm. Okay. Now, it's all happened since the brake job was done, correct?
Since the brake job, yes.
Hmm. Did they replace the brake rotors?
They did four rotors, two calipers on the front, pads, emergency brake on the back. Hmm.
But it goes away. You say it goes away when it gets warm.
Yeah. A good 80% of the bumping goes away when it gets warmed up.
And are they new tires, you say? They're new tires.
Well, they tried new wheels. They put four new wheels on it off somebody else's truck or whatever and took it for a drive, did the same thing.
Okay, so we know it's not a tire wheel
issue. It's not a tire.
Okay, well, it's got to be something to do with the brakes then, because it was only since the brakes that this problem occurred. Do you use the emergency brake at night?
I generally use my emergency brake when I park.
I'm just wondering if the parking brake is getting stuck on or something, and after he drives it a bit, it finally releases.
It wouldn't be speed-related, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
The way his speed range indicates to me that it's some sort of an unbalance in the drivetrain.
Okay.
And you can isolate it by shifting the vehicle into neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Take it out of drive and put it in neutral?
Yes.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I never tried that.
Yeah, try it. At least it'll isolate it. Maybe it's transmission related. Or
That's the only thing we never tried.
All right.
There you go.
All right, Scott, you got an answer.
One other question.
Quickly, yes?
It's, okay, the one side, the ball joints are loose on one side, and the thyroid is loose on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were, would that have anything to do with it?
Could very well to do with it. Absolutely.
It could? Sure.
Yeah, yeah. You should, if it's loose, you should replace them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
If there's too much.
Do you both sides? Like, the other side is tight.
Yeah, the site that's tied, you can leave alone.
Yeah.
But the loose,
something
like
that.
But the loose like a goose, you gotta get it off your caboose. You gotta get that done right away.
Would that contribute to bumping or?
Sure. It could, sure.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
And excessive tire wear, so.
Because if you don't do it, you're gonna get one big bump, and then the car's gonna be hanging down on an angle, and it could be a dangerous situation. That ball joint could come out. So get her fixed, Scott.
Yep.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy. All right, that was, I hope we tried to help them, eh? It just sounds like, you know, I mean, part of our job is listening to people explain their symptoms, and that's how we diagnose things. But
it amazes me. I learned so much from this show when I leave here.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I've enhanced my automotive, what is that word? Come on, Ellie.
Your database.
Bail me out of here, buddy.
Your database. You've sharpened up the carnoodle there. All right, here, I got a question for you, both of yous. What is the number one selling vehicle in Canada?
Ford.
And which Ford?
Which one?
Escape.
No, you got it wrong. It's the effing truck.
Yeah.
And with the 150. The 150.
He said car.
And no, I didn't. No. Number one selling vehicle.
Can we play
I said.
It back, James?
Yeah. Number one selling vehicle. What's the number one selling car?
Fusion.
Nope. Honda Civic. And coming up quick behind it is the Elantra. There you go. That's what's happening.
Okay.
Although you do have another effing truck on the list. That would be the Escape.
Escape.
Yeah, Escape. They sell a lot of them, too.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. All right, we're going to go to Marlene now, who's in Toronto. Again, Feyesmere, another Ford question here. A Ford Focus, a 2001. What could be wrong with that? Marlene, what can we do for you?
Hi, I have a problem with my window. I did notice a couple of years ago where I was having trouble getting it up and down, and my dealer said, just don't touch it and you'll be fine. However, this year, riding along the highway, all of a sudden I heard bump, and the window seemed to have, I'm going to say, come off the gears or whatever, and went down. What am I looking at in order to fix this? Remember, the car is old, too, so it's wonder, how much money do I need to put into something like this? Is it worth fixing? Right now, a friend has raised it and put a block in the window edge so that it can't go up or down.
Okay.
But winter is coming, too.
There you go. And what happened?
I think a window has to be operational for any practical vehicle. As a matter of fact, even as part of a certification process.
The driver's window has to work.
All the windows have to work.
You have to be able to pull up to the drive-thru and say, give me two hamburgers.
it's something that needs to be addressed. Now, to get any real answers, you're going to have a technician open up the door and examine the inside and see what part of the mechanism has failed. Only then can you get an accurate estimate of what needs to be done.
Okay.
Yeah, you're most likely looking at a regulator, I would probably guess. They're made pretty flimsy these days. Sometimes they're just the cable and they break. The difference is, though, whether you can buy a cable separate to a... is it a power window? Sorry?
Or yes, it is.
Okay. It's a power window. So,
and it's actually in the back seat behind the driver's side. And as I'm going to say, probably 99.9% I'm in the car alone. So I've never really worried too much about it because... there's no passengers.
I have a recommendation. If it's a window that you really don't care about, and if it's a rear left window, I suppose you could care less, have somebody unplug the power window switch for that window or cut the wire to that.
That way, by mistake, it wouldn't
come
down.
So this way it'll never come down, right?
Well, I think it might be best to really look at fixing it.
All right, I'm gonna just stick my neck out here. You're going to be looking at minimum... $200 to $300.
What part of the city do you live in?
Scarborough.
Oh, Scarborough.
Oh.
Stop in and see me, and I can tell you, you're looking probably about $150 to fix it.
Oh, wow, that's cheaper than me.
What a deal. No, Saturday morning.
All right, Marlene, you're going to have to call.
I'm sorry, and can you just give me your address and phone number, I'll make an appointment?
What part of Scarborough? Are you closer to Morningside, or are you closer to McCowan?
Both are out. I'm actually Toronto-y, so I'm Warden in Danforth area, but I can drive anywhere.
All right, Shepherd and McCowan, right in the corner, Shepherd and McCowan, 4700 Shepherd Avenue East. It's called East Court Ford, and come in and ask for me, and I'll see what I can do to help you out. Price-wise, there would be a cost to fix it, just you know, and I'll make sure it gets fixed for you.
All righty.
Okay. And can I just take your name again, please?
Mark.
Mark? Super. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mark.
No problem.
Have a good day.
Take care, my buddy.
Oh, wow. I'm going to send mine to you. Oh, yeah. Are you cheap there, eh?
Are you low
$150 to fix the window.
Well, what I'm thinking is if it's a back window, the bottom of the glass has a track that's glued to it.
Yes.
And usually what happens is the track comes off the glass.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not a prominent window, you can sometimes glue it back on. If it's a window that you have to use.
Just look at open the door.
Yeah. If it's a window that you have to use all the time, that's kind of a Band-Aid repair, and it doesn't really work well. But for that, she's going to open it twice a year. It would probably be okay.
All right. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that Marlene gets her dreams answered, her dreams fulfilled. 416-360-0740. If you're in Toronto or if you're out of town, it's 1-866-740-4740. And we're going to go to John next in Scarborough, who's got some kind of light on the dashboard. What can we do for you today, John?
Oh, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a 2004 Grand Prix. I need to get an emission test done.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it in, they put it on the diagnostic scope, and they said it was the cooling fan relay.
Oh, hang on. Let's back up. So you mean there's a problem with the car before you went in?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's why I didn't take it. I had not yet taken it to the where you get the emission test done, because it's really nothing to do with emission. But I asked the guy, and he said it won't pass because it's a code P like in Peter, 04-81. So I replaced the two relays, and again, shut the car off, turned it on, and the light's still on. So now they're saying that it's because the fan is not coming on high. It's working, but it's not coming on high. And I'm going to go back again, but I've already spent like $100 for the two relays. So I didn't know if this was a common problem with this particular year or anything. Or before, I read a whole, you know, people paying $400 or $500 to get the light out in the dash. And the guy at the emission place said he had a car the day before that. And it was the transmission light.
Okay, John.
On, and phoned
John.
The ministry, and it wouldn't pass the test.
John.
Yes.
Do you hear the music?
I'm sorry.
Do you hear the music?
Yes.
Okay. You know what that means? We have got all your information, and us three professors here. Number one, Ellie.
We got the Karnak.
We got Karnak here. We're gonna have to take some time to come up with an answer for this.
You better find another title for yourself.
So, John, I want you to hang on the radio, hang on the telephone. Okay. Don't hang up. Don't change the dial.
We got the emission guy.
We will have your answer for you in 2 or 3 minutes. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. Where if you've got an emission problems, we've got the professor here to try to help answer them. We're going to put it all on beans. Let him do it. All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more.
Quiet.
Don't you come back no more.
What was that?
That was the stars. You hear him. What you said? There you go. What's his name? I forgot.
Needed a glass of 10W30.
Ray Charles. There you go. The late, great Ray Charles. What you said? Hey, this is Dave's Corner Garage on new AM 740. We're going to go back to John. We had ourselves a huddle, a team huddle here during the break. John's got a, what kind of car is it again, John?
A Grand Prix.
2004 Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. The check engine light was on. You did not have the test done because you were told you were going to fail anyways, which I guess you can go either way. But in this case here, you've got a problem with your cooling fans, and you had the relays changed, is that right?
Yes.
And are the fans still not working properly?
No, the fans have been working, but they're just, they don't come. The last guy said it didn't come on high, but they were working.
Okay. Oh, so now, but your check engine light is still on as a result of that, you think? Okay. All right, Ellie, go ahead.
Two issues. One is specifically about the Grand Prix here, and the other one is a general comment about check engine lights. The only reason the check engine light is on, and there's only one reason, is when the emissions coming out the tailpipe or the EVAP system on a car exceed the standard by 50%. In other words, the car is spewing way more pollutants than it should.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your case, it has to do with engine temperature. You see, the computer controls the engine temperature by turning the fan on low and high as required.
Okay.
If it cannot turn it on high, then it recognizes that there's a potential problem here and puts the check engine light on. Okay. And your friend that complained about the transmission code that has nothing to do with emission, Well, transmissions have a lot to do with emissions.
Okay.
For example, if a transmission slips, mm-hmm. your engine is racing, your car is not moving as fast as it should, then you're burning up a lot more fuel than you should be doing.
Right, in a certain case.
So bottom line is, check engine light is an emissions issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, in your case, if the fan doesn't come on high, I really recommend that you fix that, because
yep.
on a hot day in the summer with the air conditioning on, you're gonna have a lot bigger problems than emissions.
Yes.
All right, so Ellie, we're looking at what? Maybe temperature switch or the fan itself?
Possibly a fan module. I think it's worth investigating and repairing properly.
All right, John?
Yeah, that's perfect. Like I said, they weren't sure which the relay was, so I replaced both of them, but that didn't take care of the problem.
You should take it to someone.
Me something else to work on. Okay.
Recommendation is let someone who knows a knowledgeable technician, look at your car.
I thank you very much for your help.
You're very welcome, John. Ellie, that's the kind of work that you guys specialize in, eh? You do emission tests,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, we do a lot of emission
electronic
tests.
Electronic works. Where's your place?
It's located at 401 Dundas Street East. Mm-hmm. We are between Sherbourne and Parliament. Beautiful downtown Toronto.
Well, it's
center of the universe.
It's a very colorful neighborhood you work in.
It is. It's not boring.
No, that's for sure. All right, we're going to go to Gabriel next in Toronto, who's been waiting an awful long time. Sorry to keep you, Gabriel. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm planning a road trip.
Have a good time.
Thank you very much. I haven't had a car in about 20 years. So I've been TTCing. But prior to that, I did have an Oldsmobile, and I know how to change my oil and all that. But the salesman laughed at me because I know how to drive in Quebec, and I don't want to get in an accident because I've had a good driving record.
Gabrielle, now, what's your question?
I have a Hyundai 2012 Santa Fe.
Uh-huh.
Would I have to change the oil again if I'm going south?
Well, how...
I don't drive very much around Toronto.
How long since the last oil change?
Just a few weeks ago.
You had okay, then you're going to be fine. You do not have to change the oil. And, hey, you know what?
Have a safe trip.
That's all. Again, there's a few things. Mark, you know, before someone ventures out on a trip like that, what should they normally be checking on the car?
Well, you definitely want to make sure all fluids are
full,
actually full,
uh-huh.
and potentially renewed. If you haven't done, if you're going on a long trip and you haven't changed the fluid in the transmission,
mm-hmm.
and even coolant, you want to make sure that your fluids are always up to par, mm-hmm. and change on a regular basis, yeah. and the level should be
good. You know what I find funny? People always come in and say, can you check my brakes? I'm going on a long trip.
Uh-huh.
Hello, on a long trip, how many times will you use your brakes?
Well, I don't
whereas really... in the city, where you use it every 100 feet, oh, it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, you know what? But our friend Dave, you know, says it's always nice to meet new people, but not at the side of the road, right?
And not behind
and,
you.
And it's why, for example, you know, somebody has an old vehicle and they want to know about taking it for a long trip. I usually suggest they don't. Either borrow your brother-in-law's car or rent one. Because when you, if you unfortunately suffer a breakdown and you're out of town, first of all, you're having to deal with a stranger. You have to find a new person to deal with, which is very difficult to find, you know, somebody that you're going to be comfortable
Not
with.
Not fun.
Right. So it's important to get a vehicle checked. It'll improve your odds. It's not a guarantee that you're going to make
course.
It there
I mean,
and back.
You never know. But obviously, the more you look after the machine, and it is a machine, the better
chances are, exactly.
Of course.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to Betty next, who's calling from Hamilton, and she's got a question about her Ford Crown Victoria. It's Ford Day here today on AM 740. What can we do for you?
Yes, we had a problem with our air conditioning in the spring. We went to use it, and it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So our mechanic said he'd top it up with Freon.
Yep.
So that lasted for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that was $100 there.
Well, actually, that was cheap.
Oh, really?
yeah, it was. Unfortunately, it didn't fix it, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, so then we did it again.
Mm-hmm.
It lasted another, you know, almost a month, and now we did it again. It's only lasted a couple weeks.
Sorry,
now,
Betty.
Yeah?
How come you just kept adding and not fixing the problem?
Well, he quoted us around $850 or something in the beginning. He said it probably was the compressor.
Here's
okay.
the problem that you have.
So we thought we were going to just leave it. And I said, no, just
put some in.
You know.
That's so, illegal.
Illegal.
Right,
it's against
exactly.
the law.
That's what I was going to say.
Number one.
And
problem.
It's the environmental.
Right.
Oh, these guys are serious.
Serious.
Oh,
but,
really?
But let me explain something to you.
Hang on. Do we have Betty's address? Because we're coming together.
Oh.
Okay.
Air conditioning in a car is an extremely expensive luxury
mm-hmm.
when it breaks. And if it breaks on a minor situation, like when he quoted you $875 to fix,
mm-hmm.
a year from now is going to be $1,200 and $1,400.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a system goes dormant, and doesn't activate, it gets full of condensation. And it, there's many things in seals that dry out and so on and so forth. So the costs get more as you let it go.
Mm-hmm. A general comment is air conditioning needs proper diagnosis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You want to be as accurate as possible when you're diagnosing a system. Then you get an estimate for the proper repairs, and you can make a decision.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of just dumping refrigerant into the atmosphere.
No, that's not the answer. And I'm surprised that they're even doing that, knowing that it leaks.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Was it, do you know if it was regular refrigerant, or did he try to put some of the new magic juice in there? They've got some other chemicals
out now. Bite your
tongue.
I
certainly don't advise it be used. No.
Okay.
No. But if you plan on keeping the car, Betty, like Mark said, you should plan on fixing it, because if you leave it till next spring, you could have multiple problems at that point.
Okay.
All righty?
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. You're very welcome.
Bye.
And don't forget, too, guys, it's important that air conditioning works for the defroster to work as it should, especially
it
these in-between seasons.
Yeah.
Exactly. It takes the humidity out of the hair.
out
of the air. And otherwise,
the air.
Otherwise, your windows, they get all fogged up. I can't see where I'm going. All right, Fred, we will get to your call in just a second, but we do have a line open. If you've got a car care question of any kind, shape, or matter, 416-360-0740. Or if you're out of town, it's a toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. Means you doesn't have to pay nothing. It's a free call. Anyways, we'll be back.
What is it?
Okay, we're back from a commercial break now, and not like we got any choice here, you know. I do appreciate...
Did you say thanks to James over there?
James, we usually wait to the end of the show because he's always got the last couple of minutes to mess things up.
Well,
you know?
I thought that's what we just did.
You know, we wait till after the fact.
Just jinxed it.
James Dooley, our professional operator, I want to thank him very much for coming down to the studio today and providing the technical assistance for... three other technical guys that we got here.
Well, but he's a professional.
He's a professional. He gets paid way more than we do, actually.
Yeah, right now, for sure.
And this is Ellie. That's the voice of Ellie Melnick from Start Auto Electric, 401 Dundas Street East. If you've got a question, electrical issue, he's your guy. And if you've got a problem with emissions, he can help you out because they are test centers.
If your
as well.
Car has a problem with emissions.
Right, right. And if you're up in Scarberia and you're looking for Ford work, Mark's the best. He's fixing windows for half price all week. It's the best.
Well, you know, it's a tough grind out there.
But unfortunately, it's just back windows and focuses. That's the only thing. Yeah.
And, of course, if you're in North York, you might want to stop in at Glen Allen Motors.
Exactly. The independent alternative, I call it.
Absolutely.
You can come and see me up at 65 Brisbane Road. We fix all makes and models. Well, we don't do Ferraris. Sorry, Dave. Dave's got one of those, eh? You can't open the hood when it gets warm.
You don't do smart
don't
cars either. He's got one of those, too.
No, you're right. I don't do smart cars. I think smart cars are stupid, to be honest with you. All right, we got to get back to our callers. Enough of that. And we're going to talk to Fred, who's got an older Oldsmobile, but I guess it's still going. Is it, Fred?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
The car is still going.
Good.
And it's in perfect condition.
Perfect.
I mean perfect. A1, I get prizes for just looking at it.
What's your question?
Pardon?
Your question?
The question is, I have brake problems.
Okay.
I have the rotors changed. I have everything changed. I've been to three different mechanics.
What's happening?
The pedal goes down too far for me.
Okay. Did they do the rear brakes as well?
I did everything. Everything is brand new on that car, even underneath. Muffler, everything.
Our question, the rear brakes, are they drum brakes or disc brakes?
They're brown, drum.
Drum brakes. Shouldn't be a problem. I mean, just a matter of adjusting them up?
Yeah.
You can always get a good...
They've adjusted them up, and they've done everything you could do to fix it.
Okay, you know what? You could have an issue. Could be that the drums are too big. Maybe the drums are out of, Ellie's shaking his head, no?
No, I don't think so.
The drums have been changed three times.
Okay.
Well, but if you adjust them up, you adjust them up. It doesn't matter. I mean, does the car have any problem braking?
I got so angry, I wanted it all done.
Mm.
Is there any problem stopping the car?
No. But it takes too long for the pedal to collect real good.
Okay, but
the car? That you put your foot on the brake, you can't put your toe under it, it's no more good.
Mm-hmm. So the pedal is going down too far.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, the only thing I can suggest here is that I want someone to go back there and make sure that the parking brake apparatus is working as it should, because if the parking brake lever is not returning all the way, it could be throwing the adjustment off, okay? So have somebody make sure the parking brake is good. And then I would have somebody bleed the whole system again, and I think that should correct it.
Would it possibly be the booster?
No.
The booster would make it hard. But there is, I don't know what year the car is, but there's a proportioning valve back there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have an issue with that.
What, to bleed it? Or I mean, if it leaks, yes, definitely.
Well, not if it leaks, but if you've let it come out, if you let air get in there, mm-hmm. sometimes you can have an issue.
All right, we're giving a couple things, Fred. We got to run. Good luck with that. And, oh, my God. Hear the music already.
Yeah, Roy Rogers is coming.
He's coming to town. We've got to we got to hit the trail. Oh, my God. Well, we missed Dave, but he will be back next week, apparently. Any other tips we got to give out, guys? Ellie?
If you have to have an emission test done, don't wait for the last minute.
Right, because it can take days or weeks, actually.
To get the monitors to run correctly. And the test can be done up to a year before, so you got plenty of time
exactly
to do it.
And that's it. We got to say goodbye to... sorry, we got a couple callers that we can't take their calls, unfortunately. We're going to try to take them off air after the show. Mark, things good up in Scarberia?
Absolutely. Thanks for having us here. Just a quick throw in that East Court Ford, if you're looking for a great deal, stop in and see us. We'd be more than happy to take care of you. Our service and sales department are number one in the city.
All right, then we got to run. Sorry for those. Ellie?
Start Auto can be found on the net at www.startauto.com.
All right, and what the heck? Come to me, see me too. 416-665-6230. You can see me in person and see what this lovely face looks like.
There's
gotta
a treat.
Run, everybody. Take care and safe driving. Bye bye.
Happy trails to you.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.